الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من نفسي وماله والناس جميعا وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and our mothers and sisters, we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for granting us this iman and making us from the ummah of our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Making us from the ummah of our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest of human being ever to set foot on earth, the greatest makhluk after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Allah ta'ala has blessed us without any effort from our side, my dear brothers. Allah ta'ala himself says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the greatest of Allah, khuluq azim. And khuluq azim is this, that those that used to do evil to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to reward them with good. There are so many instances in the kitabs, in history kitabs, in the kitabs of hadith, etc., that a person brings iman. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and says, Ya Rasulullah, bring iman. And before iman, he was one of the arch enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as he's about to make bayt, he pulls his hand away and refuses to make bayt. And Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu was a very, very great sahabi. We know the conqueror of Egypt. And one whom Allah had blessed with tremendous wisdom. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ya Amr, what's the matter? He said, Ya Rasulullah, that in reality, what I have done and my opposition to you and to Iman, Islam and the Muslims, I have to be executed. My sins are so many. So until I do not make a condition that all my sins are forgiven, I am not prepared to take bayt and bring Iman and Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, O Amr, do you not know that Islam yahdimu ma kana karduhu? That Islam, when a person brings true Iman in Islam, all his previous sins are completely forgiven. We know Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala was a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before Iman in Islam, he was responsible for the shahadat of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who was a beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on that he was freed from the bondage. He was a slave of one of the chiefs of the Meccans. When he brought Iman in Islam, then immediately everything was forgiven. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him one thing, that, oh, Washi, just do me one favor. When you come in my majlis, just sit behind me. And the reason is this, the moment I see my eyes are set upon you, then I think of my uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And the thought of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala comes into my mind, then it should not happen that Noor and Nubuwwat that is in my heart, the Noor and Nubuwwat is not transferred into your heart. That is why the ulama also say that we should see it when we go in the khidmat of our kabirin, our buzrungan deen also, that our hearts have to be very, very clear, and we do not do anything that causes any harm to them, because the Noor that comes to their hearts, that Noor should be transferred into our hearts. In fact, that is one of the reasons it is felt that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala intended to get married to while Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala was still living, to get married to the daughter of Abu Jahl, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that cannot happen. Not for the sake that it is not permissible for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to have her in nikah, but it would cause personal harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and that would deprive Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala of the fares of nubuwwat, of the noor of nubuwwat, of benefiting from the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So my dear brothers, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a person, Hazrat Amr ibn As says that I passed through different stages in my life. There was a stage that the most despised person in the world was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would hear the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and my blood pressure would rise. anger would overcome me. It was not only Hazrat Amr ibn al-As, there were other people of that nature. Hazrat Hindar's condition was the same. Hazrat Sumama ibn al-As' condition was the same. And then they said, when I brought Iman in Islam, then he said, the most beloved face on the surface of the earth became the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Hindar says, I used to hear the word of Medina, and my heart used to boil, disliking Medina Munawwara. But after bringing Iman in Islam, the love of Medina became so much that only Medina came to my heart and everything else was out of the heart. Everything that was connected to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became most beloved in our hearts. So there is our Iman in Islam, my dear brothers, that transformed people who were arch enemies of Islam. And when they brought Iman in Islam, they were prepared to give their lives for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nothing was more beloved to them than the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, a sahabi, who was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great sahabi of Islam, he says, if you ask of me to describe our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I will not be able to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you. Because after bringing Iman in Islam, I never had the courage of seeing the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would just glimpse at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and immediately my glimpse would go away. So many years in the khidmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But out of love and respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it was difficult for me to even glimpse at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Just going off the subject, that is why the ulama say that one of the greatest blessings of this ummah was this, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha married Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There were two nikahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that the kuffar make a big fuss about. One is the nikah was of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, and the other is the nikah with our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And from all the nikahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these are the only two nikahs that the divine instructions were given. Khab in a dream of a Nabi also is divine. And we know first Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala at the age of 25 in his youth. And his youth also was pure. Not only was the youth of Nabi alayhi salam pure, but he stated to Abdul Muttalib, which was not his name, Sheba was his real name. He was so pure that at that time, before Iman in Islam too, he never committed zina. He never ever drank beer. He stayed away from all sort of relationship. And many of the akhlaq the Muslim should have, Allah had blessed Nabi al-Islam's grandfather with. That is why in some historian revised have written, that when Nabi al-Islam was sent, then Hazrat Jibreel al-Islam says, that I went throughout the earth and I did not find a family that was more pure, more honorable than the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Quraysh and the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and particularly the Banu Hashim, and from where Nabi alayhi salam comes, nobody more pure than them. Like I just mentioned, Abdul Muttalib, even before Iman in Islam, what remarkable call is that feeling for the pure and feeding the poor. Not only pure, it is stated that he was known that he used to feed the birds of that particular time too. He was known as Mutimuttayr Sama, a person who feeds the birds of the heavens. And many, many excellent qualities Allah Ta'ala had blessed Abul Muttalib with. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, my dear brothers, if we look at the nikahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then the two nikahs of Nabi alayhi salam were divine. At the age of 25, in full youth, he got married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, who was well over 50. And until Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala lived, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not get married to anyone. After Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala passed away, then for 2 or 3 years also he did not get married to anyone. And thereafter all the nikahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were with women who were widows, except the nikah of our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And of the many benefits ulama have written, that many times the sahaba, when Nabi alayhi salam would say something, the sahaba never had the courage to question Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not to question what is right and wrong, an inquisitive mind about something, about some matter. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was in the youth, and of course, the husband-wife relationship is very, very different. The many, many questions she posed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and because of that, the masail of the whole family life has been opened on the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, the ulama have written, if you look at the top 7 narrators of hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anha stands, most hadiths that we have come from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, then from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Then Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and number four Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala stands. And between Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and number two, there's not much difference. There's 300-400 hadiths differences. But my dear brothers, the deen that has come through Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, it is stated that if the deen did not come through Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, then this ummah would have been deprived of a great amount of deen. The whole family structure of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came. And in fact, the ulama have written one more thing also, going on the subject, that many people feel, why were the 11 wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? First, as I mentioned, in his youth, Nabi alayhi salam did not have any wives. Hazrat Khadija was there, and after Hazrat Khadija had passed away radiallahu ta'ala anha, then for a number of years he did not get married. Today, there is a concentrated effort from many angles to discredit Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anha. And na'uz billah, my dear brothers, some people who are doing doctorates in different varsities, their job is to discredit Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anha. If Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala becomes discredited, then it means more than 5,000 hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam become discredited. That means our deen falls away completely. That is why Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi. Fi Allah, regarding my sahaba. La tattakhun gharada min badi. That is why the ulama have written that the Quran Kareem will give us an explanation of the why of the lives of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, so much mention has been made of Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the different Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But direct mention of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not mentioned much in the Quran Kareem. That is mentioned by through the sahaba kiram, the seer of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And not one sahabi, more than 100,000 sahabi have recorded the lives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and each and every act of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is recorded. So similarly, as far as the private matters of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ulama have written, if there was only one of the Ummahatul Mumin reporting it, there would have been people who would have made an effort to create doubts in the minds of the Muslims. But when we find, my dear brothers, then all the mothers unanimously have the same report on a foundation. The foundation is one and the same. The tafsilat, and as far as the explanation is concerned, we know that Hazrat Aisha has explained more than anyone else. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala, but all collaborate each other. There is no contradiction in the reporting on the household matters of Nabi alayhi salam anyway. That is why it becomes very, very difficult. Although we as Mu'min and Muslim, my dear brothers, we do not believe in going and applying our intellects when Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something. Once Allah ta'ala says something or Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something, if they have to tell us that we have to put our backs on a wall and lift one leg, then on the day of Qiyamah we have to do it, that is our deen, my dear brothers. We do not question. Our logic is our back. And a commandment of Allah Ta'ala and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in front. And that is the iman we have to develop, my dear brothers. So anyway, that was just off the subject, my dear brothers. That there is a concentrated effort, my dear brothers, as far as our deen is concerned, to create doubts in the minds of the Muslim Ummah. But we should be very, very careful that we do not understand our deen with logic. We understand our deen because we have made broad iman upon Allah and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-ladhina yuminu al-ghayb. In fact, what made Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, the kuffar in Makkah thought that at the time of Miraj, he has an ideal opportunity for us to go and create doubts in the minds of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and try and create a doubt that look at your friend, now he's claiming the great go to the four, seven heavens in such a short time, from here first and foremost to Baitul Maqdis, and then from there to the heavens, is it even possible? When Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala heard this, immediately rejected, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says so, then it's completely true. He did not even think. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that whoever I gave the doubt of Iman and Islam to, for a moment or so they had some sort of a doubt. They thought about it. Except Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, that unconditionally, he did not think whatsoever. He was my close companion, he had seen my life before in the word, and immediately accepted that if you have brought this, then it's true. So anyway, my dear brothers, as far as Seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, every part of the Seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is very, very valuable. And every act that is connected to our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is very, very valuable. In fact, one of the great ulama of the Ummah ibn Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in was asked, that is Hazrat Umar ibn al-Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, who did so good work, was a great ruler of the Muslim Ummah, is he more superior was at Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, who was a great Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallam and a brother-in-law of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this great, some say it was Imam Malik Rahimullah, some say another great Tabi of his time, immediately replied that leave alone comparing Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala to Umar ibn Abu, comparing Umar ibn Aziz rahmatullahi to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Umar ibn Aziz rahmatullahi cannot even compare with the dust on the nostrils of the horse of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala when Hazrat Muawiyah went out in jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is why, my dear brothers, as far as the Sahaba kiram are concerned, they are the noble companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If we find any fault in any of the Sahabi, in reality we are finding the fault of the Sahaba kiram. And if the Sahaba kiram has to fall away, then the deen falls away. And that is why it is a very, very sad thing, my dear brothers, that if you have to ask a Christian who are the greatest of human beings after Isa and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will tell you Hawariyin of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Dehanvi writes in one place, and if you ask the Christians, if you ask the Jews, they will tell you the companions of Musa and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But there is a group among the Muslim Ummah known as the Shias, which we heard about them, what they are doing in Sham, etc. If you ask them who are the worst of the Muslim Ummah, then they will tell you the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were the worst of the Ummah. And the Quran Kareem says that they are best of the Ummah. Quran Kareem says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam purified them. And Allah Ta'ala, in various ayahs of Quran Kareem, Allah says, radiallahu ta'anhum wa radwan. And the love that the Sahaba Kiram had for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, my dear brothers, me and you cannot imagine the love that the Sahaba Kiram had. Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'anhum is one Sahabi, Talha bin Badr radiallahu ta'anhum. After Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'anhum brings Islam, my dear brothers, he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was staying in the vicinity of Quba. Ya Rasulullah, what can I do for you? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say, go in, kill your father. Immediately he sets out to the sword. Nabi alayhi salam calls him back and says, oh Talha, I did not come here for this reason. This was a test for you. Hazrat Talha became very, very ill. When he became very, very ill, and between where he was staying in Medina Munawwara, the Jews were there, and the Jews were looking for an opportunity to assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu advised that if I have to pass away at night, then whereas Nabi alayhi salam said, if he dies, then please let me know, I will come perform his janazah salah. Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu says that at night he became ill, and became severely ill, and now he was leaving the world, and he told the sahaba around him, this is what you call ittiba'i rasul, that please do not inform Rasulullah sallam, because if you inform him, he will come and perform my janazah namaz at night. And it must not happen that he is coming to perform my janazah and the enemies of Islam find an opportunity to cause harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And bury immediately, do not leave my body till the morning, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if a person passes away, then immediately that person should be buried. So immediately, my dear brothers, when Hazrat Talha passed away, then the janazah namaz was read and he was buried. Next day Nabi alayhi salam was informed that Talha radiallahu anhu passed away at night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, why did you not inform me? He said that Talha's wasiyat was this, Ya Rasulullah, that we should not inform you for these reasons. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes to the grave of the Talha radiallahu ta'ala, and he makes us dua, the dua by ittiba'i Rasul we can get. Allahumma alqa Talha, O Allah, meet Talha in a way, tazhaku ilayhi wa yazhaku ilayka. Meet Talha in a way that, O Allah, you are happy with Allah, with Talha, and Talha is smiling towards you. Imagine the beautiful dua, my dear brothers. And this is got from the ittiba'i of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. A sahabi is taken, my dear brothers, and he is put on a cross in Makkah Mukarrama, and he is about to be made shaheed, and he is tortured in different ways. One of the chiefs of Makkah comes to him, who did not bring Iman and Islam at that time as yet, and he said, I'm sure you must be wishing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam be in your place at this particular time. Because of him you have suffered so much. He said, Wallah, I prefer to die in this manner instead of even a thorn has to prick my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means even a thorn has to be pricked to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am prepared rather to die in this way than a thorn pricking my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam we can never imagine, my dear Sahaba kiram had. Hazrat Suhail radiallahu ta'ala, who was an ambassador to many, many places in the different worlds of Persia, etc., he narrates that I went to the emperors of Rome and Persia of those particular times, but I had never seen a people that they had the love for the Nabi as they had seen the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would, whatever, before he can say anything, they would want to know what was the motivation and follow whatever he wanted to do. He would make wuzu, the drops of the water would not reach the ground, it would be picked up before that. And then he says that if somebody could not get that water, the next person would take some benefit and some barakah from the hand who had taken drops of that water. And I have never seen they were prepared to give their lives in every way for the comfort of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why, my dear brothers, in this particular time, as far as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, there are so many incidents in history we have, my dear brothers. Look at the beautiful birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It is said that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born, that Hazrat Fatima binti Abdullah says, this whole, the room in which Nabi alayhi salam was born, completely lit up. And the mother of Hazrat Nabi alayhi salam, Hazrat Amina, says that I had seen a dream, and I saw the stars coming right down onto, virtually onto the earth, and I saw it enlightening up to Syria was enlightened and everything was enlightened. The ulama have written that was an indication. First, the nur of iman that has come from the skies with the coming of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The zulmat of kufr would go and the nur of iman will come and remain till the day of Qiyamah. And it was mentioned of Sham, because Sham was the time that in life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sham itself came under the ban of Islam. 90% of Sham came and the rest of it came in a time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, that Sham came under the ban of Islam. And unfortunately, we know, my dear brother, what is happening in Sham. Sham had a very, very special place in the heart of Nabi alayhi salam. He said, Sham is mine. In one hadith, it says, when the fitnas will be very, very current, then make hijrah to Sham. Sham will be a savior. Before Qiyamah, in fact, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made hijrah from Iraq, he made hijrah from Iraq to Sham. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he will come down, he will also come down in Sham. And also the ulama have written that there are 40 abdals in the earth, and the abdals, most of them, they frequent Sham more than any other place. They are mostly from Sham. And Sham, which is of course the present Syria that we know, is also Sham. What that present Syria, there are other places there. Jordan is there, Baitul Maqdis is there, and Lebanon is there. It's all part of Sham, but Damascus itself holds a very, very special, Damascus and Baitul Maqdis. And they are not very far apart as far as miles are concerned. Maybe 1 hour's journey from one place to the other place. It's a very, very special place in Islam as far as this particular place is concerned, my dear brothers. So she had seen this dream. And also we know, my dear brothers, the dream of Abdul Muttalib, who was the grandfather of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the dream that he had seen also, that he saw from his body a chain coming out, one going to the skies and one to the earth. And then all of a sudden the chains transform into a beautiful tree. And this tree is illuminated with a beautiful nur spreading the whole world. And then some people of the Quraysh want to try and destroy that nur, and others are protecting the nur. And the dream was very, 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 it's very, very obvious what the dream was, that the nur and nubut that will come, the nur of iman that will come, and then initially the Quraysh, how they tried to put the nur off, and how the nur existed, my dear brothers. Then look at the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he is born, Hazrat Abdullah, his father, is taken away before that. And we know that one of the alqab and one of the titles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibn Zabihain, he says that his father was extremely handsome. Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, had one son only, his name was Haris. And with Haris, he was looking for the well of Zamzam was covered already, because the kabila of Jurhum there was there that came in the time of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and stayed there. After they did certain things and they were asked to leave, they covered the well of Zamzam up. Abdul Muttalib saw a dream again, and through the dream he started digging the well of Zamzam, and because it was near the Kaaba, the Quraysh had taken objection to it, and with his one son Haris, he found that well of Zamzam, and that well of Zamzam was revived again. At that time, he took an oath that if you bless me with 10 sons, then I will slaughter one of them in your path. And Abdul Muttalib was one of the chiefs of Makkah Mukarramah. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with 10 sons, and then a voice came out, "Oh Abdul Muttalib, now fulfill your oath." So when he said, "Fulfill your oath," now the time came from the 10 sons which one to choose, so lots were thrown, and his Nabi alayhi salam father, Abdullah's name came out. And he was taking Hazrat Abdullah to go and slaughter him, and he was very, very handsome. The sisters came by and begged the father, "Please do not slaughter Abdullah, rather give some camels on his behalf. And at that particular time, for blood money for a person, 10 camels used to be given. So he said, all right, we'll give 10 camels. We'll put 10 camels on one side and Abdullah's name on one side and we'll throw a lot again. And then lots were thrown again until the camels, every time Abdullah's name came out, Hazrat Abdullah's name came out, and 10 camels were increased. 100 camels were completed. Then, of course, the name of the camels came out and Hazrat Abdullah was spared in that particular way. That is why, in a company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salam, somebody was, who was Ibn Zabihain? Whose laqab and title was Ibn Zabihain? So immediately the Sahabi remarked, Ibn Zabihain was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the son of the two Zabihain. One Zabi was Ismail Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that was slaughtered by Ismail Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, went to go and slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and you know the sunnah of Qurbani came from there. And one was at Abdullah, and both were the forefathers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyway, my dear brothers, at that particular time, Abdullah's name came out, and he saw this dream. So that dream also was a clear indication that Nabi alayhi salam's birth was no ordinary birth. Hazrat Abdullah was taken away at this very, very young age. And thereafter, we know, as history continues, that in Arabian world, they used to send their children out to the villages for two reasons. One is for health reasons. And secondly, the reason was because the language is very, very pure in the villages. And the Banu Sa'd used to come to Makkah Mukarramah. And it so happened that every of the mothers that came, foster mothers, they had each and every one taken a baby. The only baby that nobody was prepared to accept was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he did not have any father, he was a yatim. Although they say he was a yatim, but the ulama, he wasn't yatim, he was a dulli yatim, he was the greatest of pearl for whom the earth was created. And at that time, it is stated that all the women are going back. Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala did not get a baby, because she did not get any baby at that particular time. Allah Ta'ala had meant it so that no other baby should come to her. And before she was leaving, she thought, let me take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a small yatim boy that is here. Maybe this yatim boy will bring some barakat to me. She went to her husband and made mashura of husband, do you mind if I take this small orphan with me? Of course, as far as this orphan is concerned, he's not going to bring us any financial benefit, but orphan always brings some sort of barakat. Maybe we should try and take him, and Allah Ta'ala will open up some way for us. It is stated the moment they took Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Halima says, on our way to Makkah Mukarramah, I had one camel and one donkey. The camel could not give any milk whatsoever, and our donkey could not walk whatsoever. My breasts also were completely dry. Our nights used to pass that my baby son used to cry, because not a drop of milk would come from my breast. I did not eat anything. The moment Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into my hands, the camel also started giving milk, the donkey also started moving, and Allah Ta'ala filled my breast. It's the first night after so many months that we slept peacefully, because my baby was also fed, we also were fed, the camel also, and on our way back, my donkey started moving at such a pace that the people of the tribe asked, Halima, have you changed your donkey? Because when we were coming to Makkah, at every juncture, we had to tell you, now come forward, you are getting left behind. He said, no, this was because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with. And then in Makkah Mukarramah, when they came, my dear brothers, when they went to Bani Sa'd, the Qabila of Bani Sa'd towards Taif, just before Taif, it is stated that there was a fair mine in that particular area. All the goats used to go, and they used to feed in different places and come back, but there used to be no food, no milk as far as the goats were concerned. Hazrat Halima radiallahu anha's goats used to go and they used to give plenty of milk, twice, completely full. The others used to be full with milk. They used to tell them, go and feed in the same place where the goats of Hazrat Halima feed. But it was not the place they were feeding, it was the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam right from the beginning, my dear brothers. From that we can judge, my dear brothers, when the zaat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has got so much barakat, then what will be the tariq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when we bring the beautiful ways and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu into our lives? What sort of barakah that will bring, my dear brothers? That is why the ulama have written, there are various reasons we have to study the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the many, many reasons, first and foremost, everything that is connected with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is deen. Everything that is connected with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is zikr, my dear brothers. And a person cannot understand the Quran until he understands the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, it is stated, kana khulukul Quran. So many ayat of the Quran are there, that one has to understand the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But even a more important juncture that we have today, my dear brothers, is unfortunately, it has been said, that if you want to destroy any nation, then sever the roots of that particular nation. And very, very sadly to say, the kuffar have succeeded as far as this is concerned. That our roots with Iman and Islam have been severed. And we know that somebody has said also, one of the philosophers has said, that without the hidden force, the fist, the McDonald's cannot flourish. Without the McDonald's will only flourish if McDonald Douglas is there. That if you do not obey and not go by the culture that the one world government wants you to adopt, then force will be used upon you to destroy you and force the culture upon you. And the only ideology that is standing up to the force and the only ideology that is challenging the force, the Christians have gone completely. In different parts of the world, they are selling their churches, my dear brothers. Many do not believe even God. And many of them just go to a Christian Sunday school just out of attending what you call Sunday classes, but their yakin is not there. As far as the Jews are concerned, we know what they are interested in. Just making money in any way, my dear brothers. One, Yaver Beg said that he was in one conference in America. He was a speaker and very, very prominent Jew was a speaker. So Yaver Beg went to him and told him, listen, both of us have in common that you also believe in a creator, I also believe in a creator. So let us revolve our talks around the creator and let us not clash on that issue. He said, there's a very, very famous person. Immediately he told him, Yaver, that's kitchen talk. There's no such thing as creator. Who tells you the creator? I do not believe in any creator. A very, very renowned Jew. And he said, openly, there's no creator. So that is the condition as far as they are concerned, my dear brothers. The only force, the only ideology that withstanding the force of this culture being forced down upon the Ummah, forced on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Iman and Islam. And the only thing that can withstand that force, our roots are strengthened. And our roots have been strengthened with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why Hazrat Waqas ibn Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala says, the son of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala says, that my father used to teach us the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and used to say that Allimu awladakum muhabbat Nabi salam wa seerat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala says that how we used to study the Quran Kareem, we should study the seerat of our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in our times, my dear brothers, to get to the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we should start studying the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the seerat of our kabirin and buzrungan deen. Hazrat Shaykh al-Adiz Nawral Markadu was once asked that why do you talk so much about Kabirin and Buzrungan Deen? He said, what can I do? Every act of my Buzrungan Deen used to be according to the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They used to see what Nabi alayhi salam used to do, what Nabi alayhi salam, how he appeared, how he acted, how he ate, how he drank, how he dressed. And they used to imitate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is very easy for me to imitate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when I see my Buzrungan Deen. And from the Buzrugan Deen, then of course, I imitate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. To the extent, there was one very great alim, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi, and there was a warrant of arrest against him. On this warrant of arrest, for 3 days he went and hid in a cave. And after, in hiding, he came out after 3 days. Somebody told him that, his name was Khurshid Hussein, that do you not know that the warrant of arrest is still there, and the English have to get hold of you, then death is certain. So stay in hiding for more than 3 days. So what a beautiful reply he gave. He said, I did not go into hiding out of fear of death. I went into hiding, I had the opportunity of making amal and acting upon one sunnah of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. At the time of Hijrah, my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into a cave and stayed for 3 days in a cave. This was an opportunity how he stayed for 3 days in a cave. It was an opportunity to go 3 days into hiding. As far as what is to happen to me, whatever Allah will happen. So when we have our Buzrugan Deen, who used to emulate Nabi alayhi salam in such matters, my dear brothers, then how can we be misled in any way? And that is why it is a very, very dangerous thing when you say this is only a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Sahaba used to regard a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the act of doing. And today, my dear brothers, we say only a sunnah, only a miswak, that can take the person out of the brink of iman, my dear brothers. Sunnah is very great. Anything connected to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam anyway is very, very great. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to travel from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Tayyiba. It is stated that certain places one of his khadims went with him, and he got off the camel. To get off the camel is very, very difficult. And then he used to make, as he was to pass urine, and then he used to come back and not pass any urine. So his khadim, after 2-3 times doing this, asked him that, "Oh Abdullah, you do not have the urge of urinating. You do not make wuzu after that. You do not urinate. Why do you get off the camel and go and urinate and make an action of urinating and coming back?" He said, "I travel with my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this particular route. And wherever Nabi alayhi salam got off to urinate, the places I remember I get off and I make the action of urinating." That is ittiba'i Rasul, my dear brothers. And that is what the Sahaba kiram are blessed with. Under all condition, whatever they would do, they would follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The love of Nabi alayhi salam was so much that one Sahabi says that sometimes days on hunger used to go for hungering. And then we used to come and see the beautiful face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And that used to be the food of removing the hunger that we used to go through. The thirst of the haram, we know, my dear brothers, Medina, when it gets hotter, how hot it gets in Medina Munawwara. Sometimes there used to be no water. Water only came in the time of the Usman radiallahu ta'ala. And my dear brothers, at that time to the Sahaba say, we used to see the beautiful face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That used to quench our thirst too. That used to remove our hunger too, my dear brothers. And our Akabirin and Muzruqanidin also, there are some incidents. There was one great alim, right in the vicinity of Sindh, very, very great alim, Maulana Hamidullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, very great alim of his time. He used to dress in a way people think he used to beggar. Great Sakhrajava Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Once he came in a company of Maulana Yusuf Bindur Rahmatullah Alayh, and there was a sabak on hadith, and he said something, and he said, "You must be a certain person, nobody else can raise this question." In his madrasa also, there never used to be food. The students would say, in the afternoon in Punjab, used to be very, very hot. And they said that we know exactly what this hadith means, that in that hungry state, in the severest of heat, sometimes there used to be no food for days in a madrasa. We used to see the face of Maulana, and that used to bring contentment in our hearts. Then we understood this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba used to set the eyes on the beloved face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and how that used to remove the hunger. I will just end off my talk, my name, with one incident. That in the 1930s, it was stated that a dream was seen by the person of Iraq that time, that the water is gushing into a certain cupboard, where the cupboard of three Sahabis were, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu and other two Sahabi kirams. First night, he did not do anything. Second night, he did not do anything. On the third night, when he saw the dream consecutively, after Hajj, many people gathered there, and these cupboards were dug. When the cupboards were dug, my dear brothers, then the three bodies were found completely intact. They were on the borders of Euphrates. And then the bodies were shifted to a safer place. But what I want to mention is this, what the writer writes, that there was so much awe on the faces that nobody had the courage to see the faces of the Sahaba Kiram. And then the writer writes, that how could our eyes set our eyes on that eyes that set his eyes on the beautiful face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That the eyes that set the nur that is in that eyes, that saw Nabi alayhi salam in the condition of iman, how can we even set our eyes on that particular eyes, my dear brothers? And this all comes to ittiba'i Rasul. So in the end, my dear brothers, we should now take out our time and build the love. Today is so sad, you ask about a soccer star, our children who know who soccer stars are. Na'uzu billah, even the kafir who are promoting evil and dajjal, yet our children know the names, my dear brothers. In our schools there, they know the names. And you ask them of the Sahaba Kiram, they do not know the Sahaba Kiram. If you know of the lives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they do not know the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If you ask the name of the Ashra-i Mubashara, sadly, my dear brothers, 95% of Muslims will not be able to relate to us what the name of the Ashra-i Mubashara, 10 Sahabi who are given the glad tidings of Jannat in one sitting. And the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we should be on our lips at all the times. That, my dear brothers, we should study, because that will create the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That will bring noor into our hearts. That will bring barakat into our lives. And that will create our link with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That root that I'm talking about, this culture that they want to bring about. The only thing that can keep us away from this culture is the beautiful seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, If we bring the love in the of the Sahaba, we bring the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we bring the love of our Qabid into our lives of our children, then my dear brothers, from the four sides, those forces, they are working against Iman and Islam, then we will be able to, my dear brothers, to defeat those forces. And in that link with Allah and the Rasul is not built. The link with the Sahaba is not built. The link with the Aqabidin and Muzruqanidin is not built, my dear brothers. Then, my dear brothers, very, very soon, my dear brothers, what will happen, that they are taken away by these waves that are going in all four directions, my dear brothers. Everywhere that you come out, is only evil being promoted. The only thing that can bring us to our deen, so Allah grant me also the tawfiq, my dear brothers, of learning the beautiful seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of making ittiba'i Rasul, because learning it is not enough, then following the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as much as possible, inshallah, one sunnah of Nabi alayhi bring to our lives. A sunnah is more powerful than all the world getting together, my dear brothers. Because a sunnah has got the taqat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the taqat, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have the sunnah with us, my dear brothers, then whatever the conditions will be, we will also survive, our children also will survive. And let us, inshallah, instill the true love. True love, the Quran Karim says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنْ لَهُ فَاتَّبِيُونِ يُحِبُّكُمْ لَهُ. We love Allah Ta'ala, then my dear brothers, the love of Allah Ta'ala will be shown by making ittiba'i Rasul. In fact, in the side of the Quran, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that Allah will see whose actions are the best. The ulama have written that أَحْسَنُ عَمَل is sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In everything, in fact, one great alim says, if you take any aspect as a benchmark for being the greatest, then every aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam outshones anybody in the world from a worldly point of view too. Every action of Nabi alayhi salam in whatever, as a military leader. In fact, one great general of Pakistan came and he was in Madina Tayyibah and he saw how Nabi alayhi salam had placed the people at the time of Uhud. And he said, a man cannot imagine that such brilliance as far from a military aspect can be as placing the archers on that particular place, the other people in this place, and a small army, how to defeat such a great army. He said, it's beyond the understanding of man that Allah Ta'ala had blessed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from a military aspect also with such great wisdom, my dear brothers. And why should not be so? Because it was Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very sad for us that the best of the creation of Allah Ta'ala, we have left his ways and we followed other ways, my dear brothers. How sad it is to see. So Allah grant me the tawfiq of being the true love of Rasulullah sallam. And that is why one ulama had said, one great alim had said, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given his blood to bind this ummah. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hand will be on that person who creates divisions in the ummah, my dear brothers. So let us also see to that we do not create divisions among the ummah, my dear brothers. Let us bind the ummah in every way. And how to bind the ummah? Let us see the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, bring the beautiful ways of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The true love of the Sahaba kiram must come into our hearts, my dear brothers. Emulate each every Sahabi we will emulate, we will be emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As much as the root upon Nabi alayhi sallam, we should stand inshallah al-Aziz. That is also one of the rights of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Allah wishes, my dear brothers, tomorrow we have to give our lives for the Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will make it so also. On end, I will just mention, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi said, that in reality, as Hazrat Umar radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know in this hadith, a person cannot achieve true iman until Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is most beloved in his life. And he said, verily, every mu'min has got this quality that Nabi alayhi salatu is the most beloved in his life. But he's only concealed, it is covered only. And then he mentions that if somebody has to condemn our fathers, swear our fathers, swear our mothers, we may overlook it and say something will run. But the person can be, how low he may be what you call in a sharabkhana one side. But if an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to take, swear Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person also will get up and will be prepared to give his life for the honor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah grant us the tawfiq, my dear brothers, that we bring the beautiful ways of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We sacrifice our lives for the sake of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And true love will be shown by ittiba'i Rasul. It must not happen on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees us and says, suhkan, suhkan, you left my sunnat, you follow the ways of others, go away to them. And in these challenges that we have in this time, the only way our children can survive these waves that are coming from different sides is, my dear, to build the link with Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tablighi jamaat that is there, our hankaz that is there, zikrullah that is there, and inshallah, the strong link with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not possible, my dear brothers, that the life of Rasulullah Prophet cannot have any effect on our hearts, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafiina wa lana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Ya Allah, mahzan mein fazl hamari aur puri ummat ke tamam gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, Nabi alaihi wasallam sachi mohabbat naseeb farma. Itibai sunnat ka jazba paira farma. Ya Allah, jo hazrat baithe hain, ye baat kahi gayi sunenge, is par hame amal karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki sachi mohabbat naseeb farma. Aapki itibai ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Sahaba kiram ki sachi mohabbat naseeb farma. Nabi alaihi wasallam sunnaton ke liye mar mitne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, Nabi alaihi wasallam ki hamare liye sifaris bana. Ummat ke hal par raham farma, ummat ki maghfirat farma, ummat ki islah farma. Jaise sahaba kiram ko Nabi alaihi wasallam mohabbat thi, hame bhi mohabbat ka juz naseeb farma. Aur ya Allah, har kaam ke andar ittiba rasool ka jazba paira farma. Hamare ghar ke andar ya Allah fikr rasool ho, ya Allah mohabbat rasool ho, tareeqe rasool ho, ya Allah, aur tareeqon ko ya Allah hamari zindagi se khatam farma. Yaqeen kamil ki daulat se mala mal farma. Har ek har jaiz maqasid ko jaza qabul farma. Aur ya Allah, Nabi alaihi salam ki ya Allah kadamon pe hame jagah naseeb farma. Manina teba ke maut naseeb farma. Warna ya Allah iman kamil par maut naseeb farma. Ya Allah, aur aap ki mubarak khaas se hum sab ko jame kausar naseeb farma. Aap ki surat aur shakal ki Allah ki ya Allah itiba ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Aap ke tareeqon ki itiba ki taufeeq naseeb farma. آپ کے ساتھ محبت کاملہ کے نولے سے مالا مال فرما. ہمارے والدین اساتذہ مشائخ حضرت مولانا مولانا یوسف صاحب اور جتنے مسلمان دین یہاں تھے مولانا عمر صاحب سب کی پوری پوری مغفرت فرما رہے ہیں. اور یا اللہ محسن نے فضل الکرم سے ان بروں کے طریقے پر چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما کر ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما کر اور ان کے برکت سے ہماری مغفرت فرما دے. اور جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا کامل عاجل نصیب فرما. جو پریشان ہیں ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ جن کو جو بھی تکلیف ہو یا اللہ نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی مبارک نام کی وجہ سے یا اللہ ان کی تکلیف دور فرما کر اور سب کو ایمان کامل کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما اور ایمان کامل جینا اور مرنا نصیب فرما. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ خیر خلقی سیدنا محمد و علیہ وآلہ وصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا اللہ.